In today's news headlines, President Trump spoke to reporters in the White House on Tuesday and remarked on the killing of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi, calling it the worst cover-up in history.
Concerned about
they had a very bad original concept. It was carried out poorly, and the cover-up was one of the worst in the history of cover-ups. It's very simple. Bad deal, should have never been thought of. Somebody really messed up, and they had the worst cover-up ever. And where it should have stopped is at the deal standpoint, when they thought about it, because whoever thought of that idea, I think, is in big trouble. And they should be in big trouble.
That was Trump on Tuesday speaking to reporters about the Khashoggi killing. Trump has echoed the Saudi monarchy's story that the killing was carried out by rogue members of the Saudi security forces and that Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman had nothing to do with it. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announced that the U.S. would be revoking the visas of some of the suspects arrested in connection with Khashoggi's murder. Meanwhile, Khashoggi's sons Salah and Saleh were invited to the Saudi palace on Tuesday, where they shook hands with the crown prince while cameras snapped photos. News media outlets have reported that Salah Khashoggi has been banned from leaving Saudi Arabia, and several outlets speculated on the grim nature of what appears to be a public relations stunt. In news about the migrant caravan headed to the U.S. from Central America, one man has died among the thousands that originated from Honduras when he fell off of a crowded bus filled with migrants. A number of those traveling are struggling with health problems as they make the long and arduous journey, largely on foot, across thousands of miles looking for a better life. Many have developed respiratory problems, and some children are running high temperatures. As the thousands-strong caravan heads to the U.S., the numbers of Central American families crossing the border has remained steady despite the horrendous Trump administration policy of family separation earlier this year that left thousands of parents and children traumatized and scarred, and some indefinitely separated. The Trump administration is desperately trying to make the influx of refugees at the U.S. border an election issue, claiming that it is the fault of Democrats. In the border state of Texas, a record number of voters have begun casting their ballots early. Early voting began on Monday, and Texas-based news outlets have reported that the hometown of Democratic Senate candidate Beto O'Rourke saw a record high number of early voters. Meanwhile, students at a historically black college are suing the state of Texas for what they say is voting discrimination. The students, who are enrolled at Prairie View A&M University, filed the suit in federal court, noting that not a single early voting polling place was opened on their campus. According to the Huffington Post, the suit says the limited early voting in Prairie View, home to Prairie View A&M, and where 79% of the voting age population is black, is illegal because nearby towns in the county with more voters who are white and less who are ages 18 to 21 have more early voting opportunities. They say the county's early voting locations violate the Voting Rights Act, as well as the 14th, 15th, and 26th Amendments, the last of which guarantees the right to vote to anyone over 18. The two major party candidates for the gubernatorial race in Georgia debated on Tuesday in what is turning out to be a very contentious race. Secretary of State Brian Kemp, who is backed by Trump, and who by virtue of his job controls the election systems, is running against progressive Democrat Stacey Abrams, who could become the state and the nation's first ever black female governor. Here is a taste of Tuesday night's debate focusing on the controversy over voter suppression in Georgia.
Mr. Kemp, you have been our Secretary of State since 2010. Can you stand here tonight and say, as overseer of our state's elections, there is no attempt on your part or your campaign's part to suppress the minority vote that would likely benefit a minority candidate who you are in a statistical dead heat, according to recent polls?
Absolutely not. And voters should look at the numbers and know that this is all a distraction to take away from Ms. Abrams' extreme agenda that she has. And this farce about voter suppression and people being held up from being on the rolls and being able to vote, is absolutely not true. Anyone who is meets the requirements that's on the pending list, all they have to do is do the same thing that you and I at home have to do. Go to your polling location, show your government ID, and you can vote.
I only believe that those who have the legal eligibility to vote should cast a ballot. But I also understand that under Secretary Kemp, more people have lost the right to vote in the state of Georgia. They've been purged, they've been suppressed, and they've been scared. This is a man who had someone arrested for helping her blind father cast a ballot. He raided the offices of organizations to stop them from registering voters. That type of voter suppression feeds the narrative, because voter suppression isn't only about blocking the vote. It's also about creating an atmosphere of fear, making people worry that their votes won't count.
That's Georgia gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams in a debate with her rival Brian Kemp on Tuesday night. On Wednesday morning, President Trump tweeted, "Brian Kemp will be a great governor of Georgia. Stacey Abrams will destroy the state." On Tuesday, the Trump administration's Council of Economic Advisors released a bizarre document entitled "The Opportunity Costs of Socialism." The report attempts to make an empirical case for why socialism does not work. In doing so, the authors inadvertently make the case for a single-payer healthcare system that conservatives have derided as socialist. Vox's Sarah Cliff pointed out that a chart intended to show longer wait times for seniors seeking healthcare in various countries includes the U.S. having the shortest wait times. But of course, seniors in the U.S. enjoy the benefits of Medicare, a single-payer system just for those over the age of 65. Many point out that the report is intended to counteract the growing popularity of a Medicare-for-all system among the public and politicians, especially Democrats, as well as the popularity of socialism as an economic system. A Reuters Ipsos poll released on Wednesday has found widespread anger at President Trump among those identifying as Democratic voters. According to Reuters, Democrats are most angry about the Trump administration's now abandoned practice of separating undocumented immigrant families at the U.S.-Mexican border, the potential for Russian interference in future U.S. elections, and the Republican president himself. Meanwhile, Republicans are most angry about the potential for Congress to try to remove Trump through impeachment, undocumented immigrants coming into the country, and the mainstream news media. Reuters added, angry Americans will be more likely to vote, and Democrats are generally more angry about their hot-button issues than Republicans. A Utah state senator has gone to great lengths to make the case for marijuana legalization in his state. Senator Jim DeBacchus drove to Nevada, where pot is legal, in order to try it out for himself and posted a Facebook video about it. Utah voters will consider a ballot measure this fall called Proposition 2 on legalizing medical marijuana. But DeBacchus said, "It dawned on me last Wednesday on the floor of the Senate that the legislature is going to have the final say on this medical marijuana." He added, "I thought maybe nobody on this floor has ever tried marijuana. I think if the legislature would actually try it, they would find it and realize this is no big deal and at least let those who are suffering have the help they need." DeBacchus ultimately decided to try out an edible gummy bear. And that does it for our headlines today.